We have more than 100 nationalities. This is about the destruction and extermination of all these nationalities.
Mass civilian killings reported in Ukraine. It's Tuesday, April 5th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, rising bread prices, welcoming Ukrainians to Europe, Australia and India trade, renewed immigration fight, hope in a song. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Ukraine's president has called Russia's ongoing and unprovoked war a genocide, while Western officials have condemned what they call atrocities committed by Russian forces in a Kyiv suburb. The U.S. Secretary of State travels to Europe this week to meet with NATO allies. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
Clouds of black smoke fill the sky over Odessa. The city council says missiles struck the major Ukrainian port city known as the Pearl of the Black Sea. Odessa is also home to Ukraine's naval headquarters. A Russian defense ministry representative said Russian ships and aircraft fired upon oil processing facilities and fuel depots he claimed provided support to nearby Ukrainian troops. A Ukrainian official called it part of a, quote, vile practice of destroying critical infrastructure. As Russia's war on Ukraine wages into its sixth week, Ukrainian troops claim victories in pushing back Russian forces. But Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky warns of catastrophes for civilians living among abandoned mines, equipment, and bodies in the street, which Ukrainian soldiers in the Kyiv suburb of Bucha pull with cables fearing booby traps.
We are the citizens of Ukraine. We have more than 100 nationalities. This is about the destruction and extermination of all these nationalities. We are the citizens of Ukraine, and we don't want to be subdued to the policy of Russian Federation. This is the reason we are being destroyed.
Back in Bucha, the mayor describes civilians with hands tied behind their backs shot in the head by retreating Russian forces. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Russia has committed war crimes.
We can't become numb to this. We can't normalize this. This is the reality of what's going on every single day, as long as Russia's brutality against Ukraine continues. That's why it needs to come to an end.
Despite mounting evidence to the contrary, Russia denies targeting civilians. A Ukrainian presidential advisor describes evidence of war crimes.
Among the victims of Russian crimes are raped women they tried to burn, murdered local government officials, murdered children, murdered elderly people, murdered men, many of whom had their hands tied, traces of torture, and shot in the back of their heads.
Ukrainian troops take back territory from fleeing Russian forces, shouting in Ukrainian, "Glory to the heroes." Secretary Blinken travels to a NATO meeting this week in Brussels, where he will hold talks with counterparts to highlight the alliance's resolve and further hold Russia accountable. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
We invite you to read much more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Pakistan's top court to examine legality of blocking no-confidence vote against Prime Minister Khan. Shanghai separates COVID-positive children from parents in virus fight. Sri Lanka cabinet resigns after protesters defy curfew. Survey shows young Taiwanese lack savings are highly indebted. Thailand southern insurgent group to halt violence during Ramadan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. So happy you've decided to join us here on VOA Asia. Russia and Ukraine are two of the world's biggest exporters of wheat. Sanctions against Russia and the war in Ukraine are driving up global wheat prices. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns reports from the western U.S. state of Wyoming on what those higher prices mean for U.S. farmers.
As this corn harvest moves to market, farmers outside the town of Alban on Wyoming's eastern plains are seeing higher prices for hard red winter wheat due to disruptions to the world's largest wheat exporter, Russia, and the world's fifth largest wheat exporter, Ukraine. Kenny Tremaine is president of the Wyoming Wheat Growers Association.
They market their wheat worldwide just like everybody else does, as much as they can. And if their wheat isn't available, then other countries have to fill in the spots. That's part of the problem there. And then also, since they're at the point where they are going to need to start planting some of their spring wheat, they're in a war, and that's holding up a lot of that.
That uncertainty has farmer Theron Anderson checking commodities prices online, including at a wheat market in neighboring Nebraska.
Corn's off almost 10. The price for a wheat at Kimball was $9.48.
With Wyoming winter wheat still 4 months from harvest, Anderson expects more farmers will plant more wheat in August if the prices hold.
Well, anytime we get an increase, we always like that, mainly because usually our prices are at best a break-even type of thing. So, yeah, these prices are good right now. Will they last? I hope so, but I'm not banking on it.
In Wyoming's capital, Cheyenne, lawmakers and lobbyists understand how quickly higher prices can drop, especially with greater wheat exports from India. Keith Kennedy is executive director of the Wyoming Wheat Marketing Commission.
There's a whole lot of pieces to the puzzle. It's just a not, oh, prices are high and we'll plant wheat. Is there enough moisture that I might be able to grow a spring crop this year and take advantage of the high prices while they last, while there's uncertainty?
While the price spike means wheat farmers are getting more for their grain, they say much of the increase is being offset by other price jumps, some of which are also driven by the war in Ukraine.
A great deal of the world's phosphate and potash come from the Ukraine and Russia as well. And with those cut off, as well as very limited exports from China, the fertilizer situation almost puts us back to a place where we were a year ago as far as profitability for farmers.
Higher diesel prices make harvesting and transporting wheat more expensive. Tremaine expects those higher input costs will outlast higher wheat prices.
Whatever happens over there, whatever the end result is, whoever is actually running the place, the wheat will be there. They will eventually get back to growing wheat.
Industry analysts expect U.S. consumers will see a 3 to 5 cent increase in the cost of whole wheat bread, with the next biggest price indicator being the state of the war in late June and early July, when Ukrainian wheat will be ready for harvest. Scott Stearns, VOA News, Alban, Wyoming.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, lending a helping hand at the border. Happening now in Asia. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida strongly condemned attacks on Ukrainian civilians as a violation of international law, referring to reported attacks in Ukrainian towns on the outskirts of Kyiv. Japan has imposed sanctions on Russia due to Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Medyka, Poland is one of the busiest border crossings for people fleeing the war. Everyday refugees stream across the border where volunteers are standing by to help. For VOA News, Julia Riera has the story.
Thousands of international volunteers have traveled to Poland to assist Ukrainian refugees crossing the border and waiting in makeshift camps before heading to other cities. 19-year-old Xavier Gilbert, who's originally from Barcelona, traveled by car from Spain to Poland with his aunt. In Medyka, they distribute supplies that they gather using Instagram.
Family, friends have given us clothes. There are people who sent us money.
Also, he helped refugees by finding transportation for people who want to go to Spain or somewhere else in Europe.
It could be France, Germany.
Volunteers like Xavier are not the only ones who are using social media to raise funds to help Ukrainian refugees in Poland. Concerned about the situation of vulnerability faced by the refugees, these Spanish university students decided to create an online initiative. They travel to the Ukraine-Poland border and are giving families food and drinks.
Seeing our families arrive with nothing, with bags, and our mothers do everything to keep their kids happy, it has had a great impact on us.
In addition to supporting the refugees who arrive in Medica with the donations obtained through Instagram, volunteers are also trying to help those who emigrate to Spain.
Get transportation for families, get apartments in Barcelona.
From getting them access to food and a phone to arranging transportation and answering questions, volunteers are making the lives of refugees crossing the Ukraine-Poland border just a small bit easier. For VOA News, Julia Riera, Medica, Poland.
You can read and see much more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
Happening now in Asia. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam says she will not seek a second term after a rocky 5 years marked by huge protests calling for her resignation, a security crackdown that has quashed dissent, and most recently, a COVID-19 wave that overwhelmed the health system. All the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. A historic deal between India and Australia has many business leaders cheering, but industries left out of the agreement are urging Canberra to continue negotiations. The interim pact announced Saturday comes after more than a decade of talks. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Analysts have said that Australia is eager to reduce its reliance on China, its biggest trading partner. After diplomatic tensions in recent years prompted Beijing to impose sanctions on some Australian goods. Australian coal, wine, and other commodities have been hit by various restrictions introduced by Chinese authorities. This dispute stems in part from Australia's call for an independent inquiry into the origins of COVID-19. Beijing interpreted the demand as criticism of its handling of the virus that was first detected in Wuhan, China. The agreement with India is an attempt by Australia to diversify its commercial ties. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said his government hadn't betrayed Ukraine by signing a trade deal with India, which has refused to condemn the Russian invasion. Morrison said his government had discussed the war in Ukraine with India, adding that he didn't think that anyone can question Australia's commitment to supporting the people of Ukraine after Canberra imposed various sanctions and agreed to supply missiles. The trade deal removes tariffs on more than 85% of Australian exports to India, including coal, wool, and copper. It covers more than 95% of Indian goods imported by Australia, such as textiles, leather, and jewellery. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said Saturday that the agreement would boost Australian prosperity.
We open one of the biggest economic doors there is to open in the world today. We've been working on this for many years, the last 3.5 years in particular. We are opening the biggest door of one of the biggest economies in the world in India.
However, some agricultural industries, including dairy, chickpeas and beef, were left out of the interim agreement. Rick Gladigal, president of the Australian Dairy Industry Council, hopes that a comprehensive free trade agreement will help local dairy farmers.
Something would be better than nothing to start with. You don't want to be left completely out of a free trade agreement. This is why we're doing them for, so that there's benefits going both ways. I don't want to see that dairy gets nothing.
Both countries will continue to work towards a full free trade agreement. India is Australia's seventh largest trade partner. Two-way trade in goods and services was worth $18.3 billion in 2020. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia. China sent more than 10,000 health workers from across the country to Shanghai, including 2,000 military medical staff, as it attempts to control a rapidly spreading COVID-19 outbreak in the nation's largest city. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. A program that allows children from Central America into the U.S. to safely rejoin their parents has been reopened and expanded by the Biden administration, but 15 Republican states are attempting to shut down the program because they believe it encourages undocumented immigrants to cross the border. VOA immigration reporter Eleni Barros has the story.
Rosemary Pimentel is from El Salvador. Her husband is living legally in the U.S. They have been separated for almost 20 years. In 2015, Pimentel's husband learned of a program known as CAM that could bring his wife and daughter to America.
He sent an application. Then some time passed and U.S. officials called me and said we would have to go to San Salvador for the program.
Pimentel is talking about the Central American Minors Program. It allows parents and legal guardians who are in the U.S. legally to bring children from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras to America. The program is part of the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. This is Linda Everts from the International Refugee Assistance Project.
And when a parent has a child who's eligible for the program, there are certain other family members who can sometimes be added to the application. But the idea is to enable that family reunification here in safety in the United States.
15 Republican states opposed to the program are suing the federal government. They argue the program was not authorized by Congress and that it increases the incentive for people to enter the U.S. without authorization. This is S.A. Working. Her work focuses on unaccompanied children at the Migration Policy Institute.
In order to have true, meaningful, long-lasting solutions that endure beyond administration to administration, we really need an act of Congress.
In response, immigration advocates join a lawsuit against the Republican states. They represent families that would benefit from the Central American Minors Program. Immigration experts say the program has pluses and minuses. S.A. Workey from the Migration Policy Institute explains again.
Helping to circumvent the informal systems that have developed over time to facilitate the journey to the U.S. And by that, I mean smugglers, or as others may call them, coyotes, that family members pay to have children escorted through that journey. There are also concerns around child safety, because the very nature of the program, as I noted before, is in-country processing.
Rosemary's daughter was able to legally travel to the United States once background checks and documents were fully processed. But Rosemary's case stalled when the Trump administration closed the program in 2017. Advocates sued the Trump administration over that decision. This is Linda Everts from the International Refugee Assistance Project.
They achieved a settlement in that case. And as a result of that settlement, approximately 1,600 people have already come to the United States as CAM parolees.
In 2020, Rosemary was able to reunite with her family. At the airport, the first person Rosemary saw was
my daughter, and then my husband, too. He was with my daughter, and it was so emotional. I was so happy because we were together again.
The Biden administration has reopened the CAM program, but with legal battles still underway, the future of the program is still uncertain. Eleni Barros, VOA News, Washington.
From the southern border of the United States and Mexico to the Ukrainian-Polish border, a Ukrainian girl seen singing in a viral video while in a Kyiv bomb shelter is using her newfound fame to help raise money for her homeland. 7-year-old Amelia Anisovich melted hearts around the world as she sang the hit Disney song Let It Go from the movie Frozen. VOA's Miroslava Gonagodze caught up with the young girl and her family in Poland, where they are living as refugees.
When 7-year-old Amelia started singing in a bomb shelter in Kyiv, the crowded and noisy underground room where people were hiding from Russian shelling felt completely silent. Filmed and posted by the neighbor named Martha, the video of Amelia singing a song from the Disney film Frozen went viral almost instantly.
They liked it a lot. They all applauded. They were giving me high fives.
Amelia tells me this story in a peaceful park near Poland's capital, where we met with her mother, Lilia, and grandmother, Vera. Feeding the birds at the lake, Amelia recalled to me how she used to feed the ducks in Ukraine, and how when the war started, she often went to the bomb shelter and had to watch her every step because of the possible landmine along the way. Her mother, Lilia, recalled when she decided to leave Kyiv.
When Amelia started to be afraid to come to the windows, and when we would leave home to go to the shelter and then back because we would go to the bomb shelter at night, she would ask me at every step, can she take the step and if it's safe? At that point, I realized it is the end. It is the line. If I cross it and we will stay in Kyiv, she will become psychologically damaged. She will become a child who is afraid of her own shadow.
Amelia remembers the crowded train ride out of Kyiv.
Some people stood up, some people sat down, slept on the floor at the train station. Me too. They gave us a soft mattress.
The family says people treat them well here in Poland. The family of four lives for free in a home outside of Warsaw. Amelia and her 15-year-old brother Misha can attend school here. But their mother is hoping they will be able to go home soon.
I was hoping to come here for a few weeks. Now I understand it could be longer, but I have the capacity to hope it will be only for a few months. I'm afraid to imagine it could be longer. It doesn't matter how good and safe it is here. I feel foreign. I'd like to go home. I would like to see my husband. I am afraid for my family. I really hope that someone will hear my prayers and the prayers of thousands and millions of people, and I will be home soon.
And Amelia says she feels like she's growing up fast. The child appears unusually composed as she talks about her homeland.
We have to speak Ukrainian, not Russian, because our enemy speaks Russian. Our land is in Ukraine. We have to speak Ukrainian. We have war in Ukraine. Russia is attacking us. I am afraid for my family. My dad is there, my grandfather, my grandmother. I am afraid for all of them. Many kids have already died, and I would like to live very much, and other kids would like to live.
Amelia's mother and grandmother are trying to maintain a sense of normality for her and her older brother. Last year, Amelia started going to school in Kyiv. Now, a refugee, she resumes her studies in this small town near Warsaw. The family hopes the war will end and they will return soon. For now, little Amelia is using her talent and newfound fame, singing at charity concerts around Poland. And she is raising a lot of money to help Ukraine. Miroslava Gongadze, Voice of America, Warsaw, Poland.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.